following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Studio A is where we are. Episode number 300. I don't know. Part of me feels like I should have some sort of a celebration or something. Part of me is like, eh. It's much like the way this show is produced. 300. 300 weeks consistently on a Sunday. I think there was one that got released on a Monday, I think. I don't know. I don't keep notes. I'm not that type of a podcaster. I know that there are people out there that are. There are people out there who take this far more seriously than I think needs to be, you know, as such. I mean, I get it. People that have never been in the broadcast business find themselves in a position of living out their dream where they can become a podcaster. I mean, make no mistake about it. I've been in the business for what, 35 years. I've been doing it. Been sitting in front of a microphone pretty much my entire adult life. And it's not that big a deal, really. For me, you know, clearly, because I've done this for so long. And when the internet comes along and everybody gets, you know, the idea that they can now be a broadcaster. Ooh, look out. I have to hand it to you though. The guys that do this as a hobby, I guess, y'all have done damage to FM radio. I have too. More power to you. You know, I think it's great. Don't need to, like, you know, slow your roll, dude. you know, don't get too caught up in it, because these things, these episodes, are all throwaway. There's nothing about these that are earth-shattering. The podcasting subreddit, of which I talk about frequently on the show, has a lot of absurd comments.
What's the most moving episode of a podcast you've ever heard?
Oh, shut up. This is disposable radio. This is what this is. They're all kept for posterity. People that might discover a show can go back in time and listen to what was being said. There's nothing of real value to this, is what I'm getting at. And when you say that, and you know, you think, ooh, that stings, Rick. Ooh, I'm a podcaster. You're hurting my feelings. You're the same hump that will, you know, and I've had a chat about this on another show, that, you know, probably spends far too long editing the damn thing, and you can't keep a schedule. So you see that a lot.
Rick, what's the secret to podcasting? How do you get it done?
Well, first of all, be consistent. Release them every week, the very least. Every week, be consistent. Don't be like one and then a couple of weeks later another one. I mean, you gotta be consistent, or your audience is not going to. I'm sitting here giving you tips. No. Second of all is, don't suck. I suck. I mean, this show blows. It really does. But I got dragged into this, and I will tell you that this is a God's honest truth. I got dragged into podcasting, kicking and screaming. I didn't want to do it because I thought, what's the point? I'm on the air basically 7 days a week, you know, sometimes. And I'm constantly there. I'm doing that. Granted, there's like commercial breaks and stuff, but I'm out there doing the thing. So it just seems sort of ludicrous for me to sit down and record something and then send that out through this different medium of what you kids call podcasting, or the pod. And it's very, very different content. But I thought, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this my way. And I'm going to bitch about everything. Because if it's one thing this show does do, is it's very critical of all media, including ourselves, including me. I mean, I'm high on that list, because Lord knows there's a lot to be critical about with my show and with me personally. And that's fine. But, you know, I went into it with the idea that I'm just going to really use this as a way to promote the radio station, of which I have done. Radio-Memphis.com. You can get it on any device. And see, there you go. That's the promo it's done. And such as it is. And then you got to fill the other time with, I don't know, bitching about something, which is, I do that a lot. kind of famous for it, really. But nevertheless, there are those that have just become like three or four guys hanging around drinking beers and telling inside jokes that nobody gets, and then they wonder why nobody listens. I don't know. I'm hoping that this episode will certainly, you know, be of some value to you, even though it is disposable, because after this, it's done. After you've heard it, it's done. You're not going to go back and listen to it again. I've already heard him talking about that. This time out, we're going to be talking about Hollywood. I'm going to be critical of them, and they are an easy target, man. They're all easy targets of big movie studios, especially Disney, as big as they are. God. Which will lead us to an unpopular thought a little bit later on. Boy, that was smooth. We'll get it all started. For episode 300, it's up next, up out of the break right here from Radioland.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at three local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
Right. So there you go. Episode 300. I thought long and hard about this. I was, you know, last week. What am I going to do for the show? I mean, is this, it's just a number. It's all it is. It doesn't even markate anything. I mean, it's a round number. We have a fascination of that, over that, we see that in calendar stuff all the time. This is 5 years and 7.5 months of doing this show. I just did the math on it. It's not even an anniversary of any sort. It's just what it is. And so I thought, well, we're going to have cake. No, but it'll be beer later. I can guarantee you that, because I'll be over at radio-memphis.com later for the Booze and Blues show, which happens at 8 p.m. Central Time. Shameless. Here on this 10th day of November, it is Melanie Mangum and friends, or Melanie Ann and friends. It's the Radio Memphis Studio Orchestra will be on the air tonight. So there's that. There's the promo. There's the plug. I've got two in. Hope everybody be happy with that. The idea of Hollywood has become a bit tainted over the years. There was a time when, you know, it's like, oh my God, it's a big movie. We're gonna go to the picture show. That's what my old man said. We're gonna go to the picture show. We're gonna go watch the pictures. I've worked a little bit in the industry, not a whole lot. I've done some stuff. I've been on camera, been behind camera. I've done things. Not on as big a level as Hollywood, mind you, but still, you wonder. You have to wonder what goes through the minds of these producers in these movie studios when they look at something and they go, hey, that was a pretty fun film. Let's remake it. Why are we doing this? Now, before I go any further into this, let's keep in mind something. That some of the best movies that we know of, that we consider amongst this various generations as certain sacred cows, if you will, all right, for the lack of a better term. One such film that comes to mind is Al Pacino's Scarface. And everybody immediately knows what I'm talking about. Oh, it's a great film. And it's a good film. I am fascinated by certain members of our society who idolize Tony Montana. You done, Duke? Thank you, buddy. The dog stands up and shakes in the middle of a broadcast. And see, this is where some of the other podcasters be going, oh, I'll be editing that out. Nope, I'm going to leave it in. Anyway, there are people who are fascinated by the Tony Montana character, and they kind of worship the guy. Clearly, these are people who never saw the end of the film. I mean, it doesn't... Spoiler alert, he dies. Horrifically. He really does. Say hello to my little friend. And he winds up falling over the rail into his fountain. He's dead before he hits the water, because they've ventilated the man. But let's keep in mind something. As good of a film as that is, that's a remake. Did you know that? It really is. By title only. That's just it. The original Scarface was a film that came out in the 20s, late 20s, early 30s, about Al Capone. But it was sort of the same idea. It was a gangster, and he was a bad dude, and it, you know, it wasn't nearly as graphic. But that's kind of what was going on here. It was a retooling, not a rebooting. You know, there's a difference there. It's just, hey, let's tell the story, but a little bit differently. Let's make it a little bit more fictitious, which is what they did. The movie Airplane. I don't know if you know this or not, and this will be some fun homework for you. The movie Airplane is a remake. Bet you didn't know that either. That's a remake on a comedy vein, based off a film called Zero Hour. Look it up and watch it, and you'll know what I'm talking about. Because what the Zucker brothers did, is it Zucker or Zuckerberg? Zuckerberg is Facebook. What they did was they had the same exact story as Zero Hour, but they just added a lot of deadpan comedy to it. And it's a genius film. Absolutely genius film. And as such, when you go back and you look at the film, you'll all the same lines are in it in Zero Hour. Not all of them. There are some that are different. And it's a fascinating thing. In fact, there's a video, that's what they call those things on YouTube, where somebody had taken select scenes from Zero Hour and run them back to back with the same scene in Airplane and watched how they came together. All right, that's a creative use of retooling or rebooting. Then you have, how many times have we rebooted Spider-Man? I mean, I know there's a lot of politics involved in that. I'm not up on all of that, so I'm not gonna speak out of turn on this sort of thing. But I mean, that's another prime example. I mean, there's been so many retellings of the same fucking story. We're done. There were, television shows that have been rebooted. The Magnum PI debacle. Oh, for the love of Christ, what a shit show that was. You know, there's been talk of rebooting Gilligan's Island. There's talk of rebooting, I'm not kidding, rebooting Hogan's Heroes. That's a thing. And you wonder, why does Hollywood do this? Why are we taking these stories and redoing them? I think it's a matter of opinion, really, as far as why it's done. I think you have a lot of producers out there that look at this sort of thing and go, this is a fantastic story. We need to bring it into the modern age and let's add some proper effects, some things that we couldn't do back then. We can do it now, you know, that kind of thing. And away we go. The Star Wars franchise is part of that, part and parcel, the first six episodes, which quite frankly, that's the series end. At the end of episode six, it's over. It's done. 7, 8, and I know 9 is going to blow out loud. Because we're done with this. I mean, how many times? It's a horse opera told in space. In fact, they got horses in this one. I talked about that last time. But, and don't be surprised if they turn around and reboot episodes 4, 5, and 6. You know, how many times do we have to take a story and redo it? And we find that the reason why, and this is why you're here. Why do they do this? This is the big question. Why are they redoing these films? The Ghostbusters one. Remember that with the all-female thing? Nobody thought it was worth doing. Nobody thought it was worth watching. So why do it? Because they know you're going to buy tickets to go see it. That's the beautiful thing about it. The film that we know is going to suck so bad that we're going to go see it. We want to know why. There are certain things out there that's just what they do. They want to redo them because they think they can improve upon the notion of what this is. And it's a fallacy. It really is. Quit buying tickets to those shows and they'll quit doing it. So if you're one of the people that sit there on your couch and you're bitching and whining and moaning about the new reboot of such and such, this, that, or the other, then don't go. Because a lot of you will still bitch about it and go to the goddamn thing. Don't go. You know, you vote with your wallet when it comes to this sort of thing. It's plan and simple. This is part of an unpopular thought, but I'm over the whole Marvel thing, man. I'm over it. I was over it a long time ago. Some of the films were kind of cool, I get, but they were tiring. Not Superman versus Batman, but the one before that, the Superman film before that, you know what it is. I can't remember. I don't care. I watched it. I was exhausted by the end of it because of all of the rampant, wanton destruction that is in that film. I could have edited so much of that out of there. And don't even get me started with the Batman trilogy. That's just, that's fucked up beyond words. One was great. Two, three, the fuck. That's how I feel about The Matrix, which is another one that's getting another film. I mean, look, I get popularity of certain things. The Bill and Ted Adventure series is about to come out with the original cast. Great. But they're not rebooting it. They're just continuing on with the story all of these many years later. I mean, if you're going to do sequels like that, which they should, I mean, if a film does really well the first time out, people do kind of like to see a sequel, unless it's a story that doesn't necessarily deserve it. It wouldn't be sort of pointless. Personally, I know they should make a Ferris Bueller sequel, Ferris Bueller's Day Off too, playing hooky on the job. It wouldn't be nearly as exciting. Perhaps he just takes the day off to nap. I don't know, but I mean, there's some ideas there. It's stupid, I know, but if you're going to do something like that. Now comes the idea. What happens when somebody comes in and says, we're going to remake one of the true sacred cows? What if they're going to come to you and they say, guess what? We're going to remake Back to the Future, and there's nothing you can do about it. Oh, my Lord. People would go nuts. I think the director actually has like owned the rights. He's not releasing them to anybody to prevent such a thing from happening. So you got that going. Or we're going to remake Caddyshack. First of all, that'd be impossible. But second of all, it's like that with Animal House, the other sacred cows. And they've done it with John Wayne. Another interesting remake, the film 310 to Yuma, an old Western from the 60s. I think it was the early 60s, late 50s, somewhere along the way. With that, George something? But anyway, the remake was not bad. It was a lot more violent. It was just a retelling of the story. So you have to define. And it is a fine line. Where are you retooling, retelling, if you will, updating maybe, or is this just a complete just homage? Vince Vaughn sadly did Psycho, Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho, frame by frame, line by line, aside from one scene. It didn't go well. He was paying homage, if you will, to Hitchcock, but I saw it. I went to the theater and saw it because I wanted to see that, and it was a waste of time. I know the film. You know the film. You know the story.
Norman, is that you?
It's that thing, you know? And Vince got to play the part of Norman Bates, which may have been what he wanted to do all along anyway. But that's a notion of how that kind of thing happens. And it is frustrating, and it does beg the question, and I know it crosses everybody's mind, is have we run out of ideas? Has the creative well dried up? You might think so, but I doubt it. I don't think that is the case at all. I think it's really a form of laziness, first and foremost. They make these films because they know, like I said, there's going to be a calculable number of individuals who will give money to go see this shit show. And they do that to make their money back. And it's a safe bet. Listen, movie theaters are hurting. May not know this, but you may not even realize it, but they're kind of hurting because you got Netflix now. And what's cool about Netflix, I can pause it to go to the bathroom. I can have whatever I want in my own. I can sit in my underwear and watch the film. I can get back in my recliner and enjoy this film without having the distraction of some kid on their fucking phone in front of me. Right? That's the beauty of Netflix, because it's taken away from the movie going experience, be that as it may, which is fun until you're sitting behind that asshole with the phone and you're paying $5 or more for a small popcorn. Popcorn and a soda. That'll be $26, please. And you just paid that to get into the goddamn room. Look, it's expensive. So to justify the act of me going into a place that shows these pictures and give them my hard-earned money, that film better fucking be fantastic. And B, I better not have an asshole in front of me with a fucking phone or I'm going to cram it into someone's ass, because that's the whole point. But what are we seeing here of late? Films that are produced, they get a week or two limited release run on a big screen somewhere so they can qualify for an Oscar. Sue me. And then they go straight to Netflix. Straight to Netflix. Which, by the way, Dolomite Is My Name, the new Eddie Murphy film directed by Memphis' own Craig Brewer. Music by Memphis' own Scott Bomar. Tremendous film. Very, very funny. If you haven't seen it, it is on Netflix. It's a Netflix production. But that's one that did. They did like 10 days in Toronto, I think it was. So they could get the, they can get the thing. They can get the credit for having run on the big screen. And then it went straight to Netflix. And it's up right now. It's brand new. Very enjoyable film. Especially if you're into the whole Rudy Ray Moore story and where, or, you know, the blaxploitation thing. It's a brilliant, brilliant film. I can't say. And Eddie is great in it. He really is. He did a great job with that film. But that's a biopic, okay? Nobody's ever done that story. That's new. So, yeah, we're capable of doing new things. The new film Midway about the Second World War. Those always do well. War films do, they always do, because it's heroic. It's a story. There's a thing there. Is it a remake? Yep, it sure the fuck is. But it's all, but it's a retelling of what happened. Because it's a true story. That's just it. Does that count? I don't know. It's kicking everybody's ass at the box office. But it's going to show up in the streaming services here before too terribly long. You know, because it used to be, back in the days of VHS tape rental and or DVD rental, there were films that were produced that went straight to tape. Straight to the DVR, straight to the rental shop. They weren't even going to put them on the screen because they knew they were dogs. So they just produced them and they got them out. And they knew there was going to be somewhat of an audience for it. Tom Selleck was notorious for this. I don't know if you knew this or not, but he made a shitload of movies. Man, he, speaking of Magnum P.I., he did, oh God, probably 200 Westerns. They're out there, but they never got onto the big screen. They went straight to tape. There was a market for that. They knew this. They didn't have to have some wild, expensive budget. They knew even before Netflix was a thing that they could produce a film, go straight to tape with it, and find their audience. And as low of a budget of a film as it was, they could still turn a pretty decent profit because of the distribution rights into all the blockbusters and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a lucrative industry if you know how to play it. Nevertheless, the question on the table still remains. Where's the creativity, right? We answered why. Why are they doing this? Because y'all are giving them money to do it. Why does country music suck so bad? Because you and your kids are buying that shit. Oh, for the love of Christ, stop doing it. But it's my opinion, I know. But when it comes to the creativity, is it there? Absolutely it is. Like I just mentioned, I just saw a very creative film, a true story about Rudy Ray Moore. And, you know, Dolomite Is My Name. And it's nice to see how that story was told. It's great. It's creative. Nothing has ever been done about that guy and how things were done. It's fine. You know, you learn to get into that sort of thing. Speaking of Eddie Murphy, Coming to America 2 is coming out very soon as well. Probably going to get the same treatment. Just throw it onto a few big screens and then straight to Netflix. And, you know, that's not a reboot. Are they rebooting Coming to America with Eddie Murphy? No, they're doing a direct sequel. You know, that's just how that is. You know, and don't get me started. I know horror films, that's a whole different thing. Because, you know, when you look at Halloween, John Carpenter's original Halloween, 40 years old, fantastic film. I know it's kind of hokey, but it does hold up really well. It's a good creepy story. And then the most recent sequel, it's not a reboot. It's a direct sequel to that film. So what happened to all the other 9 or 10 other films that happened over there? They don't care. They don't matter. Some people really like them. Some of them don't. The Rob Zombie ones, I can tell you, don't even waste your time. You know, it's a completely different thing. It's a spinoff. It's I don't know what it was. They were reboots. There was a film genre that's been rebooted a million times. I like what John Carpenter is getting involved with now that he's with Blumhouse, and he's getting, you know, the new, he's only going to do the new one that's coming out, Halloween Kills, and then the next one is Halloween Dies. Or Halloween Ends, or whatever the case is, but that's it. They're going to do those three films, and that's it. And then they're done with it. hey, that's great. Let's move on to something else now. Let's find something that we can sink our teeth into, pardon the pun, and get us a good story. Get us good, you know, because it all starts with the word, right? It all starts with whatever word you're going to put on the page and what's going to work. You know, one of my favorite genres of film is the James Bond series. Love them. But my biggest beef with this now is Bond has not been given an assignment to carry out in quite some time because he's too busy being a rogue agent off solving some other problem that has nothing to do with the British Secret Service. Nothing. He's gone rogue. He's gone off the reservation. He's out of here. He's off. He's going to go be a vengeful bastard somewhere. And that's what he's doing. Back in the early days, they called Bond into the office. They set his ass down and they say, okay, here, we need to send you to such and such place to go get such and such device. And you need to, you know, do whatever it is that you can do and don't screw it up. And then they send him off and off he goes and he's drinking and fucking his way all the way through the film. We don't see that anymore. Now I sound crusty and old, but you know, still get back to what works. Story and character is everything. And it's easy to think, and I get it. It's really easy to sit there and think that, oh, there's just no creativity. That's not the case. Don't be fooled by this. The creativity is there. It's an act of laziness. They don't want to sit down and do this. And there's other things that come into mind, too, because as I mentioned earlier, the changes that are occurring within the movie theater industry, if you will, okay? People just aren't going. It's expensive. There's a lot of assholes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so you've got this home streaming thing like Netflix or Amazon or whatever the case that you may be. And you want to get your film out to these people. Well, guess what? To make that work, you got to rethink how things are done. Brand new Martin Scorsese film that has come out or is coming out. I can't remember the dates on this. The Irishman, good gangster film, 4 fucking hours long, but it's going to be a good. Why? Who cares? You're at home. You don't have to watch it all at one time. You can stop it. Come back to it the next day. You know, whatever you want to do. Or sit there and endure the entire thing. Give yourself a break, you know. Hit the pause button. Go outside. Walk the dog. Take a dump. Do whatever you got to do. Then come back and watch the rest of it. That's the beauty of it. You don't get that luxury in a big theater. I have a friend who works in the big theater business, and she has worked very, very hard and tried to, for years, in vain, to get me to stop talking like this about her industry. But it's a fact. The internet has now reached into even that. We don't think about the internet so much because it's so much of a part of our lives that we don't realize that it's only been around since, what, the 90s, the mid-90s? You didn't think about that. But look how pervasive it has gotten. It completely decimated the radio industry. It's really tearing apart the television industry now. It's killed newspapers and magazines for the most part. And it is what, you know, it's in the movie business. And finally, people at Netflix and even the movie makers themselves have realized this is where it's at. One of the biggest arguments now are films that are produced by Netflix to be shown specifically on Netflix. Are they even eligible for an Oscar? And a lot of the people at the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences say, no, they are not. And it started a fight. So to get around that, they show it, like I mentioned, they show it on a screen somewhere. They get a 10 days out of it. Nah, they don't care about box office results at that point. It got the screen. Now it's onto the small screen where it'll make its money, where it will do fine. And it'll, you know, it's just how that works. So, you know, what's the answer? The answer's simple, my friends. Vote with your wallet and your remote control. You watch what you want to watch. Enjoy what you want to enjoy. And I tell you this, if you really like something, and now, speaking of the internet, now that we've got this ability, hop onto Twitter, find the person that made that film, and tell them that you really enjoyed it. It's just as simple that they may see it, they may not. I don't know. But still, somebody will have seen it. So, okay, yeah, they like the movie. Good job. You do that. I know. I know all of a sudden it sounded, God, Rick, you just sounded kind of wholesome. I don't know. Makes my teeth itch thinking about that sort of thing, doesn't it? Nevertheless, that's what's going on. So, you know, see what the movies.
Memphis' number one alternative smoke shop is your number one stop for all your CBD products, and now is your stop for Kratom. Get into the store and see what Kratom can do for you. Plus, Wizards has fall deals throughout the entire store. Woodwick candles, watches from Swell, tarot cards, figurines, and so much more. Take a look and order online at their new website, wizardsmemphis.com. 1999 Madison Avenue in Midtown, open 10 to 10 every day. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 or older to buy smoking-related products.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Perhaps you saw this, that Instagram is taking away the likes. They wanted to try this grand experiment. We're going to take away the likes. You know, you can just post your stuff up there and people either comment onto it or share it or whatever. But there's no, they're taking away this imaginary thing. Because it's silly. Thank God. To be honest with you, I'm glad they're doing that because too many talent agents, I don't know if you knew this, too many talent agents won't book you based on what your social media platform looks like. If you don't have a shit ton of people that follow you and like you, they won't book you. What's happening now? They're overlooking really good talent who don't give a fuck about social media. That's what's going on. Now we can just strip that back away. I'm one of those people. I don't care about it. I have to use it because it is there. But as far as the likes thing, shove it up your ass.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right, you heard what's coming up next time here on the program. It would be episode 301. Should we have cake for that, too? Tonight, radio-memphis.com on November the 10th. If you happen to catch this around this date, before the 8 p.m. Central Time hour, get your ass on over there and tune in at radio-memphis.com on any device. And here are the show that we got for you for the Booze and Blues. It's a live program, as always, and it is Melanie Ann and friends. And that her friends are Pops Fontaine, who's everybody's friend. Rome McMinn is on drums. Pops is playing percussion. Rome McMinn on drums. Bass is Dan Cochran, I believe. Brad Webb on guitar. It'll be big. She's going to be singing. It'll be fun. We're putting on a show for you kids. That's tonight, 8 p.m. Central at radio-memphis.com. Tune in for the Booze and the Blues. There you go, kids. In the meantime, though, I'm about to get on out of here. But before that, it's time for my unpopular thought. And it is this. Disney sucks. Oh, I know. It's sacrilege to even say that. Ooh, how dare you say that? Oh, my God. It's the last bastion of children's programming. No, it isn't. No, it's not. The Children's Television Workshop is the last bastion of children's programming. 50 years of Sesame Street. Happy anniversary, kids. I think that's remarkable. Sesame Street has always been something that has been beyond fantastic. And right up there with, it's hard to top Mr. Rogers by any means, because it was just quality children's programming. You know, having a child being spoken to in the way that these shows do is important. It really is. And, when you talk about Disney, that's just sugar-coated shit. That's all it is. You don't have to look far to figure out from that point on. You know, it's fantasy. Look, have you ever been to Disneyland? Have you ever been to Disney World? Have you ever stood at the ticket line and go, you want how fucking much money to get into this shithole? Really? The whole Disney thing. Whatever. That's my unpopular thought. I don't know. Take it for whatever. Or do what this whole thing is about. It's disposable. After you're done with this, you can delete it and never hear it again. It's just that simple. Tune in next time, kids. That's it. I'm done. I'm out of here. Y'all be sweet. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another, for God's sake. Stop shooting each other, all right? I'm Rick Cheddar. And this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.